Welcome back, King. This is episode 179. It's 179 weeks, so we're just bringing you all the exciting buzz that Microsoft is talking about, you guys are talking about. And one other thing you guys are talking about on our message boards from last week's episode is, of course, the tattoo story. The big story that Paul, you know, muddily tried to relate to you, but I clarified about people in IT tech, people in Microsoft and Bangalore getting tattoos of the Microsoft logo on their body. And Adam Every commented that he was going to get the Windows 95 logo, but he thinks that would probably take a patch to cover that up.
Yeah,
it's
Alan Every.
That's what I said.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
To the basics of love. Let's go to Lupin Rock, Texas, with Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the head.
And then there's a dirt bag with two G's that.
Yeah.
I was just scrolling through and I was like, did someone put a tribal tattoo up there? But no, it's just the Windows NT server logo from back in the day.
But is that really the logo from back in the day? I thought he maybe photoshopped a tribal tattoo with the Windows NT logo.
Is that real? I highly doubt that was the Windows NT server logo, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
But he does say that he's got a dirt bag with two G's, which is funny because I was going to take dirt bag with two G's as my name, but it was taken. Now I know by who. He says that he's got a tattoo of an old beer tab, pull tap,
yep.
Which I hope he's serious. And if he is serious, please send the photos. I want to know where on your body it is, because it could be gross.
Yeah, I think he said it's on his chest.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. There's a tattoo parlor in New York City that I used to go to, and they would give one tattoo out. If anyone wanted to get it, it was free. And it had two cigarettes crossed and a banner. And it said, born to smoke. And then, like, puffs of clouds that said, like, hack, hack, cough, wheeze, wheeze. And if you wanted that tattoo for free, they would give that to you. So I'm wondering if you just went into any other tattoo parlor and gave them something really stupid, maybe you get a freebie. Who knows?
Maybe they want to add it to their portfolio, kind of like how a lot of advertising people like doing really creative stuff, even if they don't get paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably get some kid in the back who's never tattooed before to just practice on you, but
right.
Whatever. You got inked up, and that's what matters.
Pretty much.
The other thing we asked our followers, our watchers, our loyal viewers, is to talk about some of the people, their nerdy guilty pleasures that they followed on Twitter. And I didn't really get much of a response. Kim.com was out there. Do you follow Kim.com?
I don't. I mean, I hear a lot about him through all the different press releases and things, but I don't personally follow.
Wouldn't it be a her?
What's that?
Wouldn't it be a her?
I always thought it was a guy.
Kim?
Yeah.
I guess maybe I'm getting confused, but wasn't there like Kim Commando? That was a girl.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Karma Chameleon.
Well, no. That's Culture Club, and I would never confuse that for anything because I love me some Boy George.
I don't know.
All right,
Kim Schmitz.
Who do you follow on Twitter, Paul?
I think I follow about 30 people. There's some people in the venture community, like the people from the Crunch Fund, now Google Ventures, a handful of other miscellaneous people. I think I follow Scott Hanselman.
I follow Hanselman. He's good.
I follow my other fake identities on Twitter.
You got to do that.
And I think there's one other. Oh yeah, I follow you.
Right, which is required to be a part of the Pink team, mandatory.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all need to follow Brandy Glanville, and if you don't know who that is, look it up. Let's start the show.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, we would be doing an absolute injustice if we did not start today's show with, of course, the biggest news coming out of Microsoft, from my opinion, in a long time, the Xbox One announcement on Tuesday, May 21st. Paul, did you get a chance to watch it?
I certainly did.
Yeah, did you watch it on Spike?
I still haven't had a TV for like six years now.
Right.
But yeah, I watch it online as most people of my generation do things these days.
Right. So let's talk about it. There was a lot of really great, exciting stuff coming out, such as, you know, the Halo live action show directed by Steven Spielberg. I mean, people, I would think, were drooling over this. You know, the integration with Kinect, the TV, and switching easily from TV to movies to gaming without, you know, having to change your input. A lot of things that people are really excited about. Does anything stand out for you?
The Kinect, by far, I thought was the coolest thing. The improvements to it are just amazing. Like, my co-founder, Akrima, is into computer graphics and computer vision, and he looked at some of these things, and he's like, yep, this is a pretty solid piece of technology. It just addresses a lot of some of the complaints that people have had in the computer graphics community about the original Kinect, and just adding things like 1080p support for the camera, the software that is built into it that can help you understand like rotations of joints, and being able to, like, you know, look at the open and closed hands, the fact that there's like a pseudo night vision mode that I think uses infrared sensors, so no matter how bright half of the room is or how dark it is, you'll be able to it'll be able to track you in low light conditions, and it can also now track up to six people at once in an incredibly low latency way.
Wow. Yeah.
And like all the software behind it, I think, is just incredible, being able to like understand movements and force, and like their little demos of Boxman, so you can like see just like all the rotations and things. Just it was an incredible like 6 minute demo that I think was on exclusively launched on like Engadget's YouTube channel or something.
Yeah, sweet. Very cool. I think a lot of people out there are talking about well, the issue with the backwards compatibility or, you know, lack thereof. I don't really think, for me, this person, this isn't that big of an issue. A lot of my game consoles weren't backwards compatible. The GameCube wasn't backwards compatible to the NES, and the PS4 is not backwards compatible. And so, you know, to me, that doesn't present like a huge red flag of like, don't get this system. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, it personally doesn't bother me too much. Like, I'm not going to deal with having multiple consoles hooked up. I'm not a huge gamer. I do fall into more of what the presentation seemed to be about, which is, you know, watching some type of movie or TV show or something through a Netflix, and not, you know, necessarily watching live TV, though that was integrated into it pretty interestingly. But from what I've seen on Reddit, there are a handful of things that the hardcore gamers that had been Xbox fanboys for quite some time started getting into this mode of like really wondering why Microsoft is doing some of these things. So it'll be interesting to see in the E3 presentations any types of clarifications on some of these potential, you know, drawbacks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people were like, where are the games? Well, obviously the games are going to be, you know, presumably the games are going to be shown off at E3. I mean, we've got this enormous, the biggest gaming convention in the world coming up and just, you know, around the corner. So I would expect to see big things from the games on Xbox One at that point. Another thing that I guess there was some confusion about is the shareability of games and whether or not I could take my game that I bought into your house, Paul, and play it, or, you know, because you need to have the activation code.
Right.
And just to clarify here, so I can take my game to your house and we can play it together as long as we're without any extra fees, as long as we're logged in to my Xbox Live account. So it's like whichever account paid for the game, you could take that account and play it anywhere you want. I just can't give you the game and then you play it for 6 weeks on your Xbox Live account. You know, and to me that's fine.
Yeah, and this is another thing where it's like, it's definitely a potential step forward in one regard and step backwards in another regard. In one regard, you know, if you can log in with your Xbox Live account and very easily be able to play this game wherever you go, that is an interesting way of adding some potential new features and functionality where you may not always need the disc, and you may be able to do digital downloads.
Yeah, it's all in the cloud. It's always connected. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and but then on the other hand, there is a huge secondary market with things like GameStop, and there are a lot of players out there that do buy physical discs and either resell them or share them with their friends, and that is a very easy way for someone to experience a game. Or if you want to like hand down a game from, you know, like, oh, you know, I played this when I was in college, then I come home for the summer, and then I give it to my younger sibling who can then play it.
Yeah. Well, there is word that there will be an activation fee, you know, for less than the full retail value of the game or the retail price of the game. So that's sort of still questions that are lingering out there. I'm sure the people over at Xbox know that we want to know these answers and that we're eagerly awaiting them. I'm sure they'll get them to us, you know, as soon as possible. You know, because I buy used games. I play used games. Especially, you know, for the child in my house, like, she's not getting the $60 game, right? We're going to go pick up the used $15 game, and that's it. She's only going to play for 10 minutes anyway. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, or use your Microsoft discount at the company store and get some.
She only plays Wii games, but, you know, I was trying to relate.
Right. But, yeah, I think that the whole TV portion of the event was really interesting from like a media hub perspective, and like knowing how the previous Halo 4 Unto Dawn series was very widely praised, to now step that up a notch and get Steven Spielberg involved, like,
come
that
on.
was pretty impressive. So I can imagine if they announced all these great television features, the way to watch live TV, the ability to have like three different operating systems all put together in some type of, you know, very fast switchable way, with all the Kinect improvements, like there's a huge technology marvel that's, you know, awaiting us for a global launch later this year. And I can only imagine that the game lineup and all of the details being announced at E3 will also be equally stellar.
Yeah, awesome. So, I don't know, can't wait for E3. Also, in other really cool technology news, which essentially is the purpose of Ping, right? So it's fun to actually have some really cool technology news to report on.
Obviously.
Anyway, I digress. A video has just been released onto the interwebs about showing a leap motion device, which essentially allows you to really do Minority Report style gesture motions in front of your regular monitor without actually touching the screen. So it's kind of like having the Kinect shooting out of your computer monitor, but you don't need the Kinect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's. Let me take a stab at this. So, right. So there's this company called Leap Motion. They were founded in late 2010. They have been building a tiny little device that has two cameras and three infrared LEDs built into it that allow for incredibly high precision motion capture for up to 10 fingers or things that are similarly sized. So like if you have a pen or chopsticks or other types of like pointing devices, you can use it for incredibly high precision input. So the types of people that they were originally looking for were developers. I believe they have like 12,000 developers in their community, and they sent out devices to each of them, I believe, for free.
Nice.
Which is pretty amazing. And now they are looking at a July 22nd ship date for the consumer version, and there have already been hundreds of thousands of pre-orders of this device across over 150 different countries, and it can make a huge difference in the type of natural user interface that can come to Windows 7 and now with Windows 8.
Yeah, and I think even in the future they're talking about using it with Mac operating systems.
Yeah, I think they first focused on Windows 7, and then they recently launched a video showing the interaction with Windows 8, and they said that other operating systems like Mac OS 10.7 and above we'll start having demos or software coming out soon. But I just think it's incredibly impressive, the incredibly low latency that you have with this. So it's something where it can be very, very fluid. You can use it with such high precision. They said it was 1/100th of a millimeter is the level of precision that they have with this. So all the standard gestures of, you know, swiping left and right, pinch to zoom, but also it could be potentially useful for CAD applications or 3D drawings or rendering. So I'm really interested to see what all the of their 12,000 developers in their community, what are the top 5 or 10 applications of this, and whether there are any interesting games aside from obviously things like Fruit Ninja that will come out that take advantage of this functionality.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see what people come up with. And you can check out the video for yourself. We'll link to it right over there. All right, Paul, as I would imagine you are the same right here as you and I, when I sit down to watch my Sunday football, it is not me. It is my entourage of, you know, a couple different laptops, each doing different things. You know, I need a screen here. I've got another game going on in the background because, you know, all of the different feeds. Like, it's a lot going on to pay attention to at once, aren't you? Same as you, right, Paul?
Oh, all the time, for
yeah,
sure.
Exactly. That's how I figured you were. Well, as announced in the Xbox One announcement, now the Microsoft and Xbox One have signed this deal where watching football is going to be an absolute pleasure with via your Xbox. So it's specifically not specifically targeted, but it's really going to be great for people like me who play fantasy football, where I need to track. And I've got several fantasy football teams, so I need to track how they're doing, how many yards they've gotten, how many points they've gotten, how my opponent's doing. And in the past, I would have to do this, you know, on a laptop over here, and then maybe another laptop over here, and then this one's doing ESPN or whatever. All of these different things, tracking devices. DirecTV does offer a service where you can plug in your players' names, and it will sort of track their information, but it doesn't have my opponent's information. It's always kind of clunky. So I have always had to have all this stuff going on. We're now with the new Xbox One. It's going to be all streamlined. I can go in, I can look as though I'm on the sidelines. I'll be able to look at certain plays and certain rulings from different camera angles as though I'm there controlling the game. Paul?
How perfect is that for you? You can just be very controlling, and
yes,
you can get what you want. You can see the Jets lose from like 8 different angles.
Oh, the Jets are so bad. Just so bad. It's really sad. I mean, I'm a Seahawks fan now. Russell Wilson, what's up? Anyway,
nice.
It's really, really exciting. Apparently, this costs a pretty penny. I've heard $400 million or something in order to get this deal.
It was $400 million over 5 years to basically get the rights for the exclusive interactive content for the NFL and to be able to promote it with the Xbox One, with the Surface. There'll be like ads and things that show up on field. Like, I don't know if they're going to be painted on field or it's going to be like digitally represented after, you know, in like some type of amazing technology that will just magically show it, you know, in between plays or while someone's running down the field. But I think that, you know, Microsoft is really figuring out how to do things well in the consumer space, especially when you have, you know, amazing investments in things like Xbox 360 and in the new Xbox One, being able to find the way to get that in front of the everyday consumer. And this is a great way to win the hearts and minds of people that are into fantasy sports.
Or not even just fantasy sports. I mean, do you think about you just using your smart glass where you want to look up, you know, other photographs of players, personal history? I mean, it's not just about fantasy. Don't let me belittle this amazing thing just to my own personal fantasy football, you know, needs. This is amazing for all NFL fans, and everyone really should be an NFL fan, right? What's wrong with you if you're not? It's America's game. Even if you're not in America, you should watch football.
They do, but they call it football.
Yeah. Anyway, it's really, really exciting. I can't wait. I know Microsoft, done some great things centered around the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl only. And so now it's just great to see the Xbox joining hands with the NFL. And I get to enjoy this goodness all season long. Yay. Not too long ago, I had my mother update to Windows 8. And still, to this day, my mother calls me every now and then. I can't find the calculator, or where'd my solitaire go, and whatever. It shouldn't sound like that, really. But, you know, those are the things that she says. So I have to direct her. And normally when I instruct her on how to do these simple tasks, like how to download an attachment from your email, she's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But for some reason, you know, people are still needing help with Windows 8. And there was a video that sort of taught people how to do it. I think it was like a 2-minute video. So it just gave basic tips and tricks. But now there's actually a 39-page PDF file tutorial training brochure available for you. And I'm assuming not our viewers' needs, but if they want to send this off to their moms, it's available for free in Microsoft Download Center.
Yep. Yeah, it's 36 pages, not 39 pages. I can't imagine what they would do with 3 more pages of content.
Yeah, that would be silly. That would just be too much.
Silly. And I'm curious if this is meant for consumers or if it's meant more for businesses, because I imagine most consumers are just going to Google something, but if you want to, or Bing something, and if you want to find, like, if you want to provide training as a business, generally you want to have, like, pre-made materials that you can, like, send out as part of an onboarding kit or welcome guide or something like that. So, I don't know. We'll see.
My mother is very business-minded. I mean, she's a businesswoman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then she let you go to art school at NYU?
She was pissed about it, but I think it was because she was battling with my father, you know, playing games with each other.
It's all coming together now.
Pissed him off really the most. So win! All right, everybody, that's all the time we have for this week. It's not really, it's just all the stories we have for this week, so we got to go. But before we do, as per usual, Paul has come up with a wonderful question of the week that we would love for you to answer. Go, Paul.
All right, so the question of the week this week is, as the wonderful developers of the Niners community, which device are you more excited to develop for, the Leap Motion or the Next Generation Kinect?
Leap Motion, Next Generation Kinect. Sorry, I just watched that movie, My Uncle Vinny, you know, where he's like, choice one, choice two. Anyway, I'm just...
Nope, that was lost on me.
Have you never seen the movie My Cousin Vinny?
I've heard of it.
Get out! Are you serious? You need to go watch that this weekend, like now.
Yeah, I'll add it to my to-do
list. My biological clock is ticking like this! Come on! What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing.
All right. We'll see you next week. Follow me on Twitter, @ElfBoy.
Me, @PaulNess.
Bye.